We're studying out the book of 1 John. We've only been 2 weeks into it. If you have your Bible open to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be covering verses 3 through 6 this morning. And I titled the lesson by This We Know, and you'll see pretty simple and pretty plain why I came up with that title. By This We Know. One of the things that I want to teach you about, and one of the things I want to show you in the book of 1 John, and it's really helped me preaching through it this time because as I read it over and over and get looking at things, I come to realize that even back here in the first century, the writing of this letter, the church is already denying Jesus in some fashion. Now, they're not denying Jesus exists, but they're denying that Jesus did not come in the flesh. We'll see that later in chapter 2 over the next few weeks, and it comes up again in chapter 4. Oh, they believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not have flesh and blood. Deity can't have that because flesh and blood is matter, and they taught all matter or believed all matter was evil. And that if Jesus took on matter, that made him evil, therefore, well, now we got other problems. Because if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that means he didn't die on a cross. And if he didn't die on a cross and resurrect from the dead and ascend back to the Father, we're all still in our sins. That's a terrible conclusion. But these teachings were coming out of the church. And I want you to remember, you know why preaching is so important? I hope you don't just see this as, okay, it's a time for this, a time for that. Preaching is vital. Because the problems and the teachings that came out of that first century came from the church. People coming up with their own ideas and then going out into society and start teaching it. Divisions were existing from the very beginning of the church. It didn't happen quickly, you know, or it happened quickly. And if you go back and you look at, you know, AD 60, AD 70, AD 80. I mean, we've already got false teaching started off. And it proceeded from within the church. Now, what do you think in 2015 and beyond, what do you think is going to happen? Why do you think we got all this religious stuff floating around that is where to come from? Well, it started back here. So you and I, the question I asked this morning to you, how do you know you're on the right track? How can any of us really be for sure? You know, we can interpret the Bible differently. Some people want to believe that. Well, look at 1 John 1:3. I'm going to begin here. John writes, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What we have seen, they saw Him. And what we have heard, they heard the teachings of Jesus Christ. Well, what we saw and what we heard, we are telling you, we're proclaiming to you everything that we saw and heard. And the reason John said we're proclaiming it, we're writing it down, we're testifying to this, is so that you may have fellowship with us. You want fellowship with the apostles? He says, "For indeed and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." The apostles had fellowship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And John said, we're writing these things down. We're proclaiming it because we are eyewitnesses. And what we're telling you is true and accurate. And if anyone else says anything else, they didn't see it and they didn't hear Him. We did. And so we're going to make no mistake about what we saw and what we heard. And if you and I would pay attention to it, we won't get led astray. Now let me ask you this. How would you like to come to the end of your life and you're about to enter eternity and find out that what you've believed is false? Man, I can't think of anything scarier. I can't think of anything any worse to end up heading into eternal life and I followed false doctrines, false teachings. And now my eternity is about to be set. If we would listen to what John and the rest of those apostles wrote, you won't have to fear it. And you won't have to question it. Look down at verse 5 while we're here. This is the message we heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, we went through this last week, but I just want to make one quick point. This is what Jesus taught to us. We saw Him, we heard Him. And the message was this, that God is light. There is no darkness in God. And then John goes on from verses 6 through 10, and he begins to talk about people. If you say you have fellowship with God and you walk in the darkness, you're a liar and there is no truth in you. You can't be practicing sin in your life in any shape or form. We're not talking accidental. I'm using practice. You can't be practicing sin and have fellowship with God. It's that plain, it's that simple. The only way you can have fellowship with God is you got to walk in the light. That's who God is. And John said, that's the message we heard. And that's what we're announcing to you. We are eyewitnesses. We're not making this stuff up. And so we want you to know that you can share in fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Now let me take this avenue. How many times have maybe you've done this? We want to assure ourselves that we are in fellowship with God through things that we see on earth. Here's what I mean. You come up to that red light. Oh God, turn it green. Turn it green if you're there, God. Please. Light switch is green. That means you're in fellowship with God. He heard you. Some people believe that. Or you go up and you're at the ball game. Oh, please, Lord, let us win this game. Let us win this game. Let me get the last hit, the winning hit. Oh, Lord, please let me make that basket. And it happens for our team or it happens for you individually. And you know what? We walk off and we think, the Lord is with us. Yes, that's the proof. Well, you're a deceived person if it's that what you believe. Well, listen, I'm a good person. I read my Bible daily. I pray every day. You know, I know the Lord is with me because I do that. So it's that is the basis on which the Lord is with us. Have you ever had this one? You got spared in an accident. And when you walk away, you look back and you think, oh, if it wasn't what the Lord with me, I would have perished in that thing. Or maybe there was a disease or something that the Lord, you know, granted you to overcome. And you look at that and you say, that's the proof of my fellowship. Is that the level that we're living on? Hold your spot. We're going to come right back. Come over to Acts 17. This is why we need to pay attention to the Word of God. I said Acts 17. How about Acts 12? That might work a little bit better. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Acts 12, 1. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Now look at the church. First century. The church is very new. It's very young here. And guess what the king is doing? He's laying hands on some of the members of the church to mistreat them. Verse 2. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. So you're going to tell me that James, John's brother, who writes this epistle, John's brother was killed. The Lord wasn't with him. See, it works that way too. If you're looking at things in life and you're saying, this is the proof God's with me, this is the proof God's with me, here's some more proof God's with me, and then yet you look at James, the brother of John, Herod kills with a sword, then the Lord wasn't with James. Or if you go back into Acts chapter 7, and Stephen, got it. Sorry. We got it back. But you look at Stephen. He was preaching to the people. And God allowed the stoning to happen. And he dies. And the Lord wasn't with him. Brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father never said we would not be harmed. And you and I need to get that on. Come back real quick with me to John chapter 16. There are beliefs flying around all over the place. There are statements being made. There are people quoting from books. There are people quoting from brilliant people, men and women, and they like these little quotes, and like those quotes make everything a reality. And they don't. In John chapter 16, look at what Jesus says to his apostles. Look at verse 2. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Now, point, how would you like to hear that as an apostle? You're about to be commissioned to go out in the world to preach this gospel. And now you've been told by Jesus, you're going to be mistreated in the synagogues. You're going to be treated like outcasts. There's going to be people who are going to kill you. You're going to lose your life in this deal. And they think they're doing a service to God. And you know what the whole point is? They don't know the Father and they don't know me. When you and I start using all of these little nuances and all of these little sayings and all of these little happenings as proof that God is with you, it proves nothing. It proves nothing. Nothing. Hitler got spared a couple of times when there was attempts on his life. Does that mean the Lord was with him? Well, if you come back to 1 John 2, John said, what we've seen, what we heard, what we have touched, this is verse 1 of chapter 1, what we beheld with our eyes, we're announcing it to you. And you know why we're announcing it to you? So you can have fellowship with us, to make certain you know that you have fellowship with us. And then look here in chapter 2, look in verse 3, the first four words of verse 3. By this we know. Look at the middle of verse 5, starting a new sentence. Look at the first four words starting that sentence. By this we know. Look over at chapter 4. Look at verse 13. And look at four words he introduces in this statement. By this we know. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Look at the four words introduced in this verse. By this we know. By this we know. By whatever John is about to write, you can know that you have fellowship with God. By this we know, not through some fate of life, not through some statement of someone, not through someone's fuzzy feelings. John says, by this we know. Well, by this. What is a by this? Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Do you believe you abide in Jesus? Then you know what you ought to be doing. You ought to be walking in the manner that Jesus himself walked. By this we know that we are in fellowship with him. By this we know we share in eternal life. To walk as Jesus walked. And how did he walk? Well, back up with me in verse 3 of chapter 2. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know God? Well, John 17:3 tells us eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. How do you know you have eternal life? How do you know you're in fellowship with God? By this we know that we're in fellowship with God. What? If we keep his commandments. We know him. If we keep his commandments. You see, keeping the commandments of God is what leads you into knowing God. It's what leads you into the things that pleases and displeases. It leads you into assurances. And that's what John wants us to see here. By this we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. Look at verse 4. The one who says, here's the talker. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Huh. You say you love the Lord and you know the Lord and you're in fellowship with the Lord. You say that? Guess what? If you're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, you're a liar. And there is no truth in you. I mean, you know, that's a pretty bold statement John writes, isn't it? That is bold. You are a liar. And the truth's not in you. I mean, you can't say it much straighter. You can't say it much more plain. If you're in fellowship with God and you know God, then you're going to walk like Jesus walked. And in walking like Jesus walked, you're going to keep the commandments. And if you're not going to keep the commandments, you're a liar. And there is no truth even in you remotely. Maybe we get hung up on this word commandments, and we do. Because whenever I hear the word commandment, maybe I'm speaking for me. Maybe not you, maybe me, more than anybody. When you ever hear the term commandments, you know what we start thinking about many times? Thou shalt not. That's a command. Or we think of the Ten Commandments in some way or form. Yeah, it's not the commandments. He's going to tell us here in just one moment. I'll show you what the commandments are. But whenever we use the word commandments, it can come in two ways. Number one, a commandment can be an imperative. An imperative is a must. This has to be done. You know, Philippians 4:4. He tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That word rejoice, that's an imperative. You are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. That is an imperative. That is a command. But sometimes a commandment, it's used in a general sense. It's just used to tell you a way of life. Not necessarily, well, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we'll walk in the light as he himself is in the light. That's a general statement. If you get over here and just walk in the light. See, that's not an imperative. But yet on one side of it, it is an imperative. Because you need to walk where the Lord wants you to walk. If you don't keep the commandments of God, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, you don't have eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, no matter what you say, you're lying. And there's no truth in you. Look again, verse 3. By this we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Did you see how he moved from the term commandments in verse 3 and 4 and in verse 5? Keeps his word. The commandments are one and the same as the word of God. You and I need to hold to the word of God. And if you'll hold to the word of God, if you love the word of God, he says in him, verse 5, the love of God has truly been perfected. In you, your love for God is being completed because you love what he says. That's where your love for God is shown, in keeping his word, in listening to his word. And so it comes down for you and I this morning. What's your attitude toward the word of God? What's your attitude toward? Do you love this? Does this mean everything to you? Because if you cherish the Word of God, if you love the Word of God, if you keep the Word of God, God's love starts becoming perfected, completing you in your relationship between you and God. Or maybe we need to ask, when's the last time you picked up the Word of God and you looked at it in sincerity? That tells a lot about who you are too. John says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his word. And if we keep his word, guess what? God's love, your love for him, his love for you is coming together completely, entirely within you. And then look at the middle of verse 5. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in the Word of God. And the love of God was perfected in him. And if you and I are going to have fellowship with God, guess what we must do? We must love and live in his word. That is the message that John gives. Come back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to end up with a few verses here, and then I'll let you have the lesson. Look at John chapter 14. Jesus always walked in the Word of God. He always walked in the commands of God. Look at John chapter 14, verse 21. We'll begin there. Now, John 13, 14, 15, and 16, those four chapters, Jesus is only talking to his apostles. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to the disciples out there in the world. This is he and his apostles, one-on-one. Look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Who's the ones that really love Jesus? He tells his disciples, you keep my commandments. That's who really loves me. And you know what? If you love Jesus by keeping his commandments, he says, you know what the Father will do to you? He'll love you. He will love you. And you know what else he'll do? He'll disclose himself to you. You know where understanding comes from? Sincere love for the Word of God. That's how you gain understanding. Look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Guess, you know, that's a great question. Judas is sitting there and listening to this. What's caused this, Jesus? Why aren't you going to let the world know? Yeah, there is a separation. Jesus knows it, and those apostles know it. And Jesus knows it's going to come down to one thing, whether or not you listen to my commandments or not. Look at verse 23. And I want you to notice he switches from the word commandments in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." How do you know the Lord is with you? You keep the word of God. If you hold fast the word of God, Jesus said, you know what God's going to do and I'm going to do? We're going to come live with you. We are going to live with you, and we're going to disclose ourselves. We're going to make our living there with you where you live. That's how you can know. See, what's the Word of God mean to you? And Jesus, you know, how interested are you in the Word of God? Continue on. Come on down with me to look at verse 24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Huh. What is the proof you don't love the Lord? You don't keep His word. Not interested. There's the sign. If you want proof that you're in fellowship with the Lord, what's the Word of God mean to you? What happens when you're confronted with the Word? Do you change? Do you bend it? Do you want it to make it sound what it ought to say that you think it ought to say? Or do you accept it? And by the way, we can be wrong. And when you're approached with the Word of God and you find out you're wrong and you're walking in darkness, you better love the Word of God and get out of that darkness. And you better do it quick, because God doesn't live over there. He doesn't fellowship over there. And so Jesus is just showing, you love me. You love my word. Now come on down, look at verse 31. "But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." Get up and let us go from here. "I do exactly as the Father commanded me," Jesus said. And how do you know? By this we know. If we say we have fellowship, if we know God, you walk as Jesus walked. And he did exactly as the Father commanded. Look down at chapter 15, verse 9, and he's giving the illustration between the vine and the vine dresser. Jesus is this vine. God is the vine dresser. Look at verse 9. "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." He calls those apostles, "Abide in my love." How? Verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." How are you going to know Jesus loves you? How do you know you love Jesus? What do you do with his commandments, his word? That's the test. That's the real test of all of this. And so John takes some time. And he pins out and writes on the parchment, "By this we know that we know him, because we keep his commandments. By this we know we love him, because we keep his word." The one who doesn't care about the word, the one who doesn't care about the commandments, and they say they're in fellowship with Jesus and God, they lie, and there's no truth in them. The truth is how you keep the word of the Lord. How the word of the Lord, how meaningful is it to you? By this we know. And God's love starts becoming perfected within me. Because I love His Word. And so I encourage all of us this morning, that's the test. That you have to love the Word of God. That's how we know. The Word of the Lord is what tells us that we're in fellowship or we're not. And anything outside the Word of God, any twisted things about God, is false. It's false. No matter what anyone else says. And John's one of the last apostles alive, and we know what happens the moment that he exits this life. There's no other eyewitness. But we have the eyewitness account written and reserved. I pray that you love the Lord. I pray that you love Him, that the Word of Jesus, the Word of God means everything. I pray that you'll walk where He wants you to walk in all things.